sowing, for laborers strewn in his field. Together the sheaves ere they perish, when mercy no more is revealed. We bask in the sunlight of glory, on heavenly manna we're fed, while souls are the ocean in darkness, are striving for life-giving bread. They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide. The Savior hath given
the mission trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. And let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4 and 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest.
Yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
And now, here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Leslie. It is a great pleasure for me to bring another gospel message to the listeners of radio station XEG. This is Willie Murphy speaking. We hope that each of you are well and happy in the service of the Lord. Many thanks to those who are helping us maintain this weekly broadcast, and we appreciate those who help us pay the postage on the printed copies each week. If you desire to write us, you may do so by addressing your letter to the Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. Listen now to this scripture reading from Isaiah chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes." This scripture shows us that God has given his best for those whom he loved. Listen then to the question which he asked in verse 4. "What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, behold, it brought forth wild grapes." Here's an important question for us to ask ourselves. What more could God have done than that which he has done to thoroughly convince us that we should surrender ourselves, spirit, soul, and body unto him? Now, concerning Israel of the flesh, it is pointed out that God has planted a vineyard and gathered the stones out of it. His vines were of the choicest type. Then he built a tower in the midst of it and a wine press. After this, he waited for the fruit of his vineyard. But what happened? He was disappointed. Natural Israel, or the Jews, were a disappointment to God. Many of them did not receive Christ as the Redeemer. Then, of course, the word of the gospel was taken to the Gentiles. This includes all other nations. Let us take heed, lest we also should be a disappointment to God. To those who receive Christ, he gives them the power to become the sons of God. Listen to these verses from St. John chapter 1 and beginning with verses 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many had received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I like the thought expressed here. God's children are born of the will of God. This makes them heirs to all of the good things which he has prepared for those who love him. But God is limited in that he does not save a man against his will. He can only save according to just principles. It is not his choice to use force, but he does use the power of persuasion. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Let me remind you of a few of the things which God does to restrain men from sinning. He gives them the power of reason, judgment, and conscience. He often reproves men. Sometimes his judgment or a threat or a forewarning to those who are headed in the wrong direction. Yet, along with all of these warnings, God shows his love for them. Sometimes he sends his chastening rod, and yet other times the judgments of God fall upon those who fail to heed his warnings. Furthermore, God gave his Son to die for them. He sends his Spirit to strive with them. Oftentimes, he uses ministers to preach to them. Even then, there are those who will not attend the services of worship because they do not want to follow the teachings of God's Word. In most every home, the Bible is to be found there, yet how often it is neglected and lays in some corner to collect the dust while the members of the home go about the affairs of life, unheeding its command. But his word is given to entice men to seek the road to heaven. Many times God bears long with those who are sinful and offers his promise of mercy. He not only requires that which is reasonable and just, but he gives the Spirit of God to assist those who would seek to do his will. All men everywhere he has commanded to repent. For he has appointed a day in the which he has declared that he will bring the world to judgment. Listen to the 30th and 31st verses of the 17th chapter of Acts. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. You see, God has all power, but the will of man often stands in his way to use that power that all men might be saved. We might liken it to one who threw a life preserver to another who was drowning in the sea. If the drowning man was unwilling to grasp the life preserver, his method of rescue, he would surely perish, even within reach of those on the shore who were endeavoring to help him. God offers mercy. Will you spurn and reject his love? Another scripture says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Let me ask you again the question, what more can he do than what he has already done? And I would like for you to think of this question as being asked by God himself. He demands an answer. If you are lost, who will be responsible? Then, when you are reminded that God has done so much, let me ask you this question. What have you done to respond to his call? Have you turned away from your sins with a repenting heart? Have you called upon God for mercy and pardon, that your sins may be blotted out? Are you walking in the way which the Spirit of God directs you, the way of peace and satisfaction? If you're not living in this way, we hope that each one who hears this broadcast tonight may begin from this very moment to do something about it. Now, I know we cannot go back and alter the past. We cannot go back and relive the years which have gone from us. This is gone from us forever. But the present and the future is yours. What will you do about it? Will you linger yet in sin, or will you arise and turn from your evil way to walk the road which leads to heaven? Listen now to this poem entitled, One by One. One by one the sands are flowing, one by one the moments fall. Some are coming, some are going. Do thy best to grasp them all. One by one thy duties wait thee. Let thy whole strength go to each. Let not future dreams elate thee. Learn thou first what these can teach. One by one, bright gifts from heaven, joys are sent thee here below. Take them readily when given, ready too to let them go. One by one thy griefs shall meet thee. Do not fear an armed band. One will fade as others greet thee, shadows passing through the land. Do not look at life's long sorrow. See how small each moment's pain. God will help thee for tomorrow. So each day begin again. Selected. Let us spend a few moments in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful that thou hast done so much for our comfort and salvation. Help us to take advantage of every opportunity to be a good witness for thee, and to thee we'll give the praise through Christ our Savior. Amen. Listen now to the song entitled, I Have a Longing in My Heart for Him, a song by David Baird, Verna, Tony, and John Salmons.
I have a longing in my heart for Jesus. I have a longing in my heart for Him. Although I know His presence lingers near me, I have a longing just to see His face. Longing, longing for Jesus. I have a longing in my heart for Him. To be near Him, to feel His presence. I have a longing in my heart for Him.
This message has been brought to you by the Mission Trail of Guthrie, Oklahoma. If you would like a printed copy free of charge, you may have one by sending us your request. And now until next Friday night at 10:45, this is Willie Murphy saying, may God's richest blessings be yours, and a very pleasant good night.
Longing, longing for Jesus. I have a longing in my heart for Him. Just to be near Him, to feel His presence.